the reckless love of God. You know, isn't it rewarding when you've lost something and you find it? Isn't that exciting? You search long and hard and finally, yes, Holy Spirit to help you. I want to focus today on the parables of Jesus regarding the lost sheep and the lost son, or we call him the prodigal son. Jesus is interested in lost things, in case you didn't know that. He's interested in lost people. Most of us probably aren't too interested in the lost unless they are important to us. Then we'll put forth all kinds of effort to find them, to bring them back. Let's look at Luke 15, 3 through 7. Luke 15, 3 through 7. This is the lost sheep. Then Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You know, I love that Jesus is willing to give and do everything he can to go after a lost sheep, even if he has to leave the 99 righteous ones. What love and sacrifice that he cares so much for one of us, for God's creation as a whole. In fact, the whole reason he left the riches and glory of heaven was to reconcile us back to our Heavenly Father, to restore that close relationship between God and man that was lost way early in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned against God. Mankind became lost at that point, so that was an awfully long time ago. Let's read Luke 19:10. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. We were all lost. But I rejoice today because Jesus loves us so much that he hated the fact that mankind was lost to God. Yet he knew he had the power, he had the motivation to seek us out, to find us and restore us back to right relationship with our Father God. You know, it took a humongous sacrifice on his part to leave the comforts of his home in heaven, to agree to become human and dwell among us here on earth. He taught, he sacrificed, he healed, he encouraged, he forgave sins, to just put up with us annoying humans. And don't you think that God, from his perspective, we can be very annoying? I can just imagine. Very trying of his patience, amen. But even though we are selfish and stupid, he still seeks us out. He loves us. He's patient with us. He cares for us like the good shepherd that he is. And we have to face the fact that sheep are stupid. If you've ever had sheep or taken care of sheep, I don't know if anyone in here has, yes? Okay. You know that they are kind of stupid, you guys. Especially when they leave the safety of the sheep pen and the rest of the flock. Wander off, or sometimes they're enticed off. They get into trouble and are out there baying, you know, for lonely, helpless, depressed. So what joy and rejoicing when they encounter Jesus and are found by him. They're bandaged up, they're healed spirit, soul, and body, and return to the safety and fellowship of the rest of Jesus' flock. What reckless love Jesus has for each of us individually and corporately. He loves the lost sheep as well as the 99. He created us in our mother's womb. He appreciates our uniqueness and our individuality, our strengths and our weaknesses, our worth and our value, no matter who we are. We have no inkling, I don't think, of how much he really cares for us and loves us. He is not willing that any of us should perish without being in close relationship with him and his Father. Now, there should be a picture up there of the balloon days float, I hope. There it is. Okay. I don't know if some of you remember this from 2018. Our theme for the teen float in the Balloon Days Parade was, he left the 99 to rescue me. We were trusting God that perhaps someone in the crowd who was feeling lost or alone, desperate, abandoned, unloved, would see that float, that message, and realize that there is someone who cares about them. That was our whole goal. That perhaps they would look to heaven and realize that God still loves them. He would leave the 99 to seek them out and let them know that they are important and valuable. If even just one person was touched by the theme of that float, if it tugged on the heartstrings of a prodigal who drifted away from Jesus, then it was worth all the time and effort those teens and Brian and Robin put into that float and that message of the love of Jesus. Realize that Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep, even sheep that aren't from his fold, Israel. He loves us Gentile sheep too, praise God. And I want to read about that in John 10:10-18. John 10:10-18. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. That was us. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Wow. So I love that, don't you? That John 10:10. Now I lost my place. You know, Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected on our behalf. He took the punishment that we lost sheep deserved. We rebelled against God. We denied God. We've gone our own way. Yet Jesus, in his reckless love, deliberately, he goes after us. He sheds his own precious blood so that we could be found, we could be reconciled back to our Heavenly Father. Wow. Satan is the wolf. He attacks the flock, and he still attacks us, and he tries to deceive us humans, just as he did in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus chases him off. He protects us and draws us if we let him. He won't do it if we don't want him to, but as sheep, we do have a free will. To go with Jesus, the good shepherd, or to go with the god of this world, the devil. What are you going to choose? We all have that choice, don't we? Jesus has a reckless love for us. One definition of reckless is this: not regarding consequences headlong. When Jesus comes after us, he doesn't care about the cost or the consequences to himself. He gives his all to us. He takes the risk. He bears the shame. He gives his life to save ours, deliver us, bring us to safety and peace, ultimately to heaven to enjoy that wonderful relationship with Father God. Do you appreciate Jesus? Do you appreciate the sacrifice, or do you just take it for granted? Are you taking advantage of it and enjoying the benefits that he provides through salvation? There are many. Read Psalm 103. God has a plan for your life according to Jeremiah 29, but it has to unfold within his sheepfold, his guidelines, his boundaries, his rules for protection and safety. Are you submitting to his lordship, his authority as your shepherd? Are you the rebel sheep? Are you a lost, deceived, foolish sheep? Like the prodigal son, did you deliberately leave home, get out from under God's guidelines and protection to enjoy worldly pleasures, to enjoy sin for a season maybe, to blatantly give in to your flesh? Some people just blatantly go after it. Maybe you were subtly deceived and enticed away as Satan blinded your mind. The question today is this: are you ready to be found by Jesus? Are you still determined to run, going in the opposite direction from the sheepfold? Consider the church, the body of Christ, as the sheepfold that provides benefits of protection and care. Yodam, have you heard that before? Year of the meeting. Sheep are to assemble ourselves together in praise and worship of our God. Pastor Doug is spending a whole year talking about this, okay? We're only halfway through, and we're still talking about the same subject, Yodam. The church is a place of encouragement, a place to share your giftings, your graces, a place to challenge each other to grow, to be loved, to love, to be accountable to each other, to pray for each other, to meet needs, to give out. We are under one leader, Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. We have acknowledged him as our Lord and Savior. We have vowed to honor him, to respect him and obey him no matter what the cost is. That's what you guys signed up for when you became a Christian. Did you know you were signing up for that? You were. Are you honoring your vows? Think about those vows that you made to Jesus when you became a Christian. Are you poo-pooing your vows as if they aren't important? Not keeping your end of the deal? Because it's a relationship. So we've got our deal. Jesus has his deal. Especially in this day and age, we Christians need to band together. We can accomplish so much more as a group from the sheepfold than we can out there in the world on our own. We are easily devoured by the wolves. There's a lot of wolves out there. There are enemies of our souls all around us. They will take your money. They'll take your time. They'll take your talents, use you up, and spit you out. We've seen it happen. When the prodigal son's money ran out, what happened? Did the world embrace him with open arms and take him back? No. They abandoned him and left him bereft. Please learn from his mistakes, okay? Come on, fellow sheepkin. I call you sheepkin because we're kin. We have a shared father. Did you know that? We have a shared father and a shared Holy Spirit. We need each other big time. We need Jesus in our lives big time every day. Make the effort to fellowship and commune with him daily. You know, it's hard to make that commitment when you're outside the sheepfold and you're doing your own thing. But we're told to do his thing, not our own thing. You will be blessed and find peace in obeying what God has called you to do, in fulfilling the unique purpose and giftings that he has put within you to share with others. Yours aren't the same as mine, and mine aren't the same as yours. Cry out to Jesus as the psalmist did in Psalm 42, 1 through 5. What did the psalmist cry out in Psalm 42, 1 through 5? I like this. As the deer pants for streams of water, oh, my soul pants for you, oh God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And that makes a lot of sense today on a hot day. We've had some really hot days. You just thirst. You thirst for water. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Please don't stay downcast. You don't have to. You don't have to stay in that depressing place. Come back to Jesus and to fellowship with your siblings. We're all siblings in the Lord. Remember how you used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng? Do you remember that? Put your hope and faith in God, in Jesus the Good Shepherd, as you praise your Savior and your God. Isaiah 40:11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. I love, isn't that touching? Isn't that a beautiful picture of Jesus' caring, loving heart? How can you continue to resist him when he is so willing to leave the 99 to come after you? Little old you, he'll come after you. There were times when Israel as a nation strayed from the Lord. Like a bunch of lost sheep, they forgot their shepherd and wandered away. Yet God never forgot them or stopped loving them and wanting the best for them. I want to read about this in Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them back from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. And that was fulfilled in 1948 when Israel was established again as a nation. God is faithful to his word. Amen. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountain of Israel. And that also has come to pass. Israel used to just be this desert place, ravaged, but now it's a fertile place. Things grow there. So God has fulfilled his promise to Israel. I love this. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. And I love this verse 16. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. So, how God loves Israel and how he loves the church. I'm talking about his New Testament Israel. That's us. His New Covenant Israel. Father God longs for Israel to accept him as their Messiah. He longs for us to accept him as our Good Shepherd, the lover of our souls. What more can he say or do to show that he really loves us? He already gave his all. What more can he give? Let's read the parable of the lost son. This is in Luke 15, 11 through 13. We're going to go back to where we started, back to Luke 15. There's several parables about lost things in this chapter. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." Have you guys ever done that? Squandered your wealth in wild living? "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need." Something about being in need sometimes will bring us back to God, right? "So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses," he said, "'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who had squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Wow. Wow. There are so many sermons you can get out of this parable. I mean, you could probably get, 20 sermons, 20 lessons, 20 angles on this prodigal son story. He left home. He left the sheepfold in hopes of gaining the whole world. Yet, he practically lost his own soul in the process. Are you like the prodigal son? Are you out there immersed in the world full of lust and selfishness, greed, partying, loosey-goosey? You have chosen not to deny yourself and your flesh. You have chosen not to take up Jesus' cross daily and follow him. So I wanted to look at Jesus' words about this in Luke 9, 23 through 25. Luke 9, 23 through 25. "Then he," Jesus, "said to them all, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul?" But yet there's a lot of people out there trying, aren't they? Probably most of us at one time or another have discovered the hard way that it's not worth forfeiting our soul to gain the world. We try to fill that spiritual vacuum inside each of us with the things of the world, just as this prodigal son did. We're left beaten up, bruised, helpless, penniless, depressed, discouraged, lonely, lost. It's not until we come to our senses, like the prodigal son did in verse 17, to realize we are so much better off in relationship with Jesus, back with our Father. We had it pretty good. We just didn't appreciate it or honor it when we were in our Father's home. The prodigal finally realized his need for God in his life. He needed his family too. He needed his fellow sheepkin. Amen. Cry out to Jesus. He will take you back with rejoicing, just as this father did. He celebrated his son's return with a big feast and a celebration. Verse 24, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Boy, was he rejoicing. But caution, let's not be like the prodigal's older brother, who became angry and refused to celebrate his brother's return. He complained and was self-pitying because he thought he had sacrificed so much to stay in the sheepfold, the boundaries. He hadn't wandered off after the world like his brother, but I think he had copped an attitude, a negative attitude. He didn't think he was getting the attention and rewards he deserved for staying in the sheep pen. We want rewards for our good works. We want praise and a raise, right? When we stay. Yet it is good to stay faithful to the Lord, and there are rewards for hard work and good works. There are rewards. But are you serving the Lord out of love for him? I don't know if this older son was doing that with his father. Are you serving out of love for your fellow sheep? What is your attitude really? Do you think Father God should love you more just because you didn't go after the world or wander off on your own quest for money or fame or pleasures? Okay, so you stayed in the sheepfold. You were a good little sheep. Can anyone bah, ha, bah? But God needed you there. So keep loving him and maintaining a good attitude. I hope you realize that the one who stays with the stuff, this is a lesson from the Old Testament, they get the same reward as the one who goes out into the battle. If God's called you to go out, great, go out. But the one that stays here will get the same reward. So don't get discouraged or angry as this older brother did, staying home, staying here in little old Creston, wherever it might be. God needs you. He needs your giftings. He needs your faithfulness. He needs your steadiness in fulfilling everyday unexciting tasks, because that's what it boils down to sometimes. You aren't a rolling stone like the prodigal brother. You were a rock in the foundation, and we need some rocks, don't we? We need some stones that'll stay in the foundation. Never underestimate your value and worth in staying in God's sheep pen, just being a faithful Christian who doesn't abandon his responsibilities just to chase after the fake excitement of the world. We appreciate you. We need you. We need you, rocks. Let's remember that none of us were immune from going astray, so we don't have to be holier than thou about, I didn't go astray. Well, you did probably in a lot of ways in your attitude and stuff coming out of your mouth. You went astray. So we never can be holier than thou, can we? Saying, well, I stayed here. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. All, it said there. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus in parentheses, the iniquity of us all. So like Jesus, let's have a heart for the lost, for our neighbor, for our coworker, or that prodigal family member. We all probably have a prodigal family member, don't we? I know I do. Whether they've never been saved or if they've wandered away from Jesus, we never, ever give up on them. Amen. Never, never, never give up. Whatever you pray, be a godly role model to them. Stand in the gap for them. Don't ever give up on the prodigal. We have Jesus' love and compassion according to Romans 5:5. It's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So I am challenging myself and you today to pray about who you can reach out to with the same love as that good shepherd. Like Jesus, our role model, are we willing to lay down our lives, our selfishness, our own plans to go after the lost in our sphere of influence? And we have them. Every single one of you has lost people in your sphere of influence. Pray to the sweet shepherd of the sheep that we too be willing to leave behind the 99, which is our comfort zone, whatever your comfort zone is, to search for that one lost lamb that God has put on your heart. That the Lord stir up that same passion in us and cause us to be available to those around us who need Jesus. To be bold and effective and caring. And I want us to all pray this faith confession together from Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. And hopefully it's up there so we can all read it together. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you and me with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's something you can pray every single day over yourself, to be equipped to do his will. I wanted to remember the words to Corey Asbury's song, Reckless Love. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You've been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, we've all been there, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. There's no shadow you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down. It fights till I'm found, and it leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Amen. That is so true. So true. You know, there's hope for you today, though. Whether you are a lost sheep, whether you're a prodigal, maybe you're the older brother that has copped an attitude. Jesus loves you no matter what. He wants you back. Bad. He's in the business of restoring lost things and lost people. It's never too late. I love that. It's never too late. If you want to be found by Jesus, if you want to be restored to the sheep pen, if you've made up your mind, then come up here and I will pray with you. Trust what Jesus said in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Amen. That's awesome. So let's bow our heads and just pray here. Heavenly Father, you are such a good shepherd to us. Lord, you love us no matter what, even when we're annoying, when we're lost, when we've been deceived, you still love us, Lord. But yet you work in our hearts to want us to come back to the sheepfold. You keep working and looking and just working behind the scenes, Lord, in our prodigals, the ones that maybe knew you and maybe have gone their own way, to go out in the world like the prodigal and think that the world has the answers. But Lord, you start working in our hearts to bring us back to remember how good we had it in the house of the Lord, how good we had it with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this great love that you have for us, Lord. So I'm asking you to reach every heart in this place, Lord, to just make that recommitment to you. You just love us so much. Just to give people a revelation of your great love for them, Lord, that they are so valuable and precious to you, Lord God, and they're valuable and precious to us, their fellow sheep. So, Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing in this place, in Abundant Life Family Church. You are bringing the lost. You are bringing the prodigals back, and you are giving us a heart, a heart to be available to people that need Jesus, to need our love and care. So, Lord, I give you so much praise and glory for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.